Matthew chapter number 9, and we're going to read the first two verses, and if you'll just put some kind of marker there, we're going to go over and visit the same story in Mark chapter 2. But first of all, Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, there brought to him a man sick of palsy lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then if you'll go with me over to Mark chapter number 2, Mark chapter number 2, we'll get a little bit more details about what happened here, a little more information. Mark chapter number 2 and verse 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. That when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us today. I would ask, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, our meeting together here. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you that we have an opportunity week in, week out to get up and to share the glorious news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To those that have already received and embraced your salvation, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would glean from the message encouraging words, helpful words. Help us, Lord, to go onward, forward. Help us to seek higher ground. Lord, don't let us leave here untouched and unchanged. Lord, may the time that we spend together in the contact with your words may it inspire us to want to do more than we've ever done before. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me have this second row scoot down this way a little bit. Melinda, you want to go back and sit by my wife? Keep her company. My wife's not being very good today, and I need somebody to sit beside her and make her behave. So, I would appreciate that. Just go set my mind. Thank you so much, darling. Appreciate it. Matthew chapter number 9. Let's look again at the scripture, please. Do you have your Bible back open to Matthew chapter number 9? I'm going to teach you a foreign language today. Don't be scared. You just have to learn one word. Amen? So pay attention. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now that little phrase, be of good cheer, is actually one Greek word. Brother Lima would attest to this. Sometimes what takes three or four words in English can be summarized in one word in Spanish. Sometimes what takes several words in Spanish we could summarize with one word in English. And that's the way it is with this Greek word here. This is the Greek word tharseo. That's not very hard, is it? If Pastor Jerry, the best known redneck in Greene County, can speak one Greek word, then you can also. Tharseo. Three syllables, the accents on the middle syllable say. Tharseo. Okay? Say it with me. Ready? Tharseo. Try it again. Tharseo. See, you all could speak Greek. Man, I tell you, we got a bright crowd here today. You can go home and tell everyone you're now bilingual. Amen? And so that's wonderful. Tharseo. Tharseo. So, when Jesus saw this man that was sick of palsy, and he saw his faith, he said in Greek, he said the word son, then he said tharseo, thy sins be forgiven thee. Tharseo. I want to take a look at that word today, tharseo. You see, folks, it's all right if you just go ahead and incorporate this in your own language and use it as a Christian, tharseo. I would be delighted if sometime down the road when you meet somebody, another Christian, or when we, as we study this word, when we understand when it's appropriate to say this, you would use the word tharseo. You say, well, Brother Jerry, people's going to think I'm strange. If you're saved, we already have a language of our own. We use it more than we even realize, and people already think that you're strange. I mean, you know, I'll go to a restaurant, and the lady will come over to the table, and sometimes me and my wife will go out and sneak off and try to catch a breakfast from time to time, one of our local restaurants, and she'll come over and say, the special today, and she'll tell me that there it involves some kind of an omelet. And so I'll look up at her, and I'll say, amen. And, you know, I don't think about it. I'm not trying to sound spiritual. It's just that that's what we say. Amen, that sounds good. And they always stop and kind of look at you like, amen? You know, I just amened an omelet. I don't get that, you know. Or perhaps something will happen. I'll be watching the news and something for once encouraging is reported, something good's happened. And I may be in mixed company out somewhere. I remember when we were in the airport the other day, we were watching something and something encouraging happened. I said, well, praise the Lord. And then they look over at you like, "What? This is not a Baptist revival meeting. What are you doing? You're in an airport." You know what? Would to God we just not be afraid to use our lingo, our language outside of the walls of this church. Folks, listen to me. It's okay to say praise the Lord in a restaurant. It's okay to say praise the Lord at Walmart. It's okay to say amen. You know what? When something good happens and someone tells you about it, if they're saved, unsaved, it really doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be good if our natural, normal response wasn't, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah, still a good word. You know, I like that. It's a Bible word. Well, here's another word, tharseo, tharseo. Let me tell you what it means. You say, well, Brother Jerry, it was interpreted as be of good cheer. That's how it was translated. It's a very good translation. It's a phrase of encouragement. It literally means and has as its core root word the word courage. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. Courage. It means take courage. It means be bold. It means have confidence. It means be daring. You say, well, when should it be used? We're going to see that Jesus, three times during his earthly ministry, it is recorded that he said the word tharseo to somebody. Tharseo. It means to take courage, be bold, have confidence, be daring. Well, Brother Jerry, when should it be used? Notice this. It ought to be used when we see somebody who is losing courage. Now think about that. If we see somebody that's losing faith, if we see somebody that's beginning to act fearful or afraid, maybe they've lost their confidence. Let me use this phrase. Maybe they're beginning to lose their spiritual daring. And you know what? We need all of those things to live out the Christian life. The most vibrant Christians, the most effective Christians are the ones that live in such a way that they live courageously. The most effective Christians are the bold Christians, the confident Christians, the daring Christians. Not confidence in yourself, not daring because of what you are, but confidence and daring because of the God that you serve. The best Christians, the most effective Christians, are the ones that are striding forward, not sulking backwards. From time to time, what you're going to see and notice amongst the ranks here, or maybe even sometimes amongst the leadership, is that you can begin to see the telltale signs of us losing courage, of losing faith, of being fearful and afraid, maybe losing somewhat of our confidence or our spiritual daring. And sometimes it would be a great blessing to go to someone else in the congregation and say, tharseo, tharseo, be of good courage. Think of that word courage. Think about it. When should I use this? How about when you notice that someone is discouraged? You ever think about the word discouraged? Isn't it interesting now that we've got this spotlighted our minds are going and we're thinking, what is it to be discouraged? Well, brother so-and-so is discouraged. Sister so-and-so is discouraged. There's a teenager, brother Jerry, in the youth group that maybe I'm beginning to feel like discouraged. What does that mean? The key word there, the base word is courage. They're losing courage. They're losing their courage. They've lost that spiritual boldness, that spiritual edge. Folks, some circumstances of life can come and we can kind of get knocked off and course a little bit. And, you know, we've lost that daring, that boldness. Maybe some setbacks in life have come our way. Maybe we've gone through some things that are discouraging, that takes our courage from us. Maybe we become hesitant. We become a little faithless. Hello? Don't look at me like I'm all by myself here. Amen. I can say Brother Jerry Ross has been there. Can you testify with me this morning? Hello? I mean, the one thing we're going to learn this morning is this. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And the devil designs things to be brought into our life that just takes that edge off, that just quiets us down a little bit, that just keeps us from being as bold, keeps us from being as brave, keeps us from speaking out as much. We begin to back up, become a little timid. Maybe we begin to lose faith. Maybe things are happening in our life and we just, although down deep we know the hand of God's there, we can't figure out how or why. And boy, the devil jumps on that with both feet, begins to whisper things in our mind, and maybe God doesn't love you, and maybe God doesn't care about you, and maybe this isn't worth it, and you begin to back up or quiet down and lose your courage. And Jesus said some things in the Gospels that we're going to look at today, because Jesus had a way of picking these type of people out. Brother Jerry, if I sat down and spent 15 minutes with you this morning and I really opened my heart, you'd understand why I've lost my edge. I don't talk about it a lot, but there's some unbelievable things happening right now. And I feel like I know what you're talking about. Let me say something to you this morning. Tharseo. 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 Say, what's that? That's be of good courage. Take courage. Be bold again. Have confidence again. Be daring again. Don't let the circumstances of life take the edge off your Christianity. God's still on the throne. God's still orchestrating this whole thing. God's still having His will and way. God's still in power. And God still wants to use you. And He's still a God worth a giving 100% to. Amen. Now, let's take a look at this in the Bible this morning. Let's get some Bible preaching. How about that, all right? The first place we see this pop up in Christ's ministry is in this portion of Scripture that we read in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 2. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Tharseo, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me say this. I can look at you as a Bible preacher this morning, and no matter what your circumstances, I can say this. Tharseo, and you know why? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now listen to me. I don't know where you're at. You say, Brother Jerry, my sins haven't been forgiven. I've never been saved. I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to hell. Well, let me just say this, Tharseo. Be of good cheer, because I've got some good news for you. That palsied man came that day lost, not just physically broken, not with just a physical malady, but with a spiritual problem. You know, there's many times when we get a prayer request come across the pulpit, and there's something that's happened in someone's life, and they are facing some kind of a physical problem. Maybe an injury, maybe a disease. But along with that prayer request for their physical recovery will be a little note that says, and please pray for their salvation. You know what? God does a lot of things to get our attention. You know, God's grace is such that He is more concerned about our long-term spiritual destination than he is our short-term physical health. And you know, this man was in that situation. Thank God he had four men that cared about him. You know the story, don't you? They brought this man sick of palsy and they wanted to get him to Jesus. They wanted him to be able to hear the words, "Thy sins be forgiven." They knew who could help. And I appreciate, let me just say on a side note, the tenacity of these four men. Thank God that when they decided that they had a friend in need and they needed to get him to Jesus, that you know what? They didn't get discouraged and quit at the first obstacle. Jesus was in a house and that house was thronged about. And that house was filled up. I mean, there was not, the fire marshal was out front saying, "No, the occupancy's full. No one else is in here." And those four men could have looking down and said, "You know what? We did our best to try to get into Jesus, and it just wasn't God's will." You know what? It's God's will for everybody to get to Jesus. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say, "You know what? That man's lost. I tried. He's still lost. I've done all I can do." Don't ever say that, because we haven't done all we can do until we get him to Jesus. And so what did these four men did? I like this. I mean, they were fanatics. They were. They were fanatics. They didn't give up. They had some tenacity about them. And they said, "You know what we'll do? We'll just climb up on the roof. And you guys, let's get some rope. And two of you get up there. And if you start hoisting, we'll start pushing." We got him up on the roof. And then one of the guys, I can almost see him outside the house. And they peek through a window and they see about where Jesus is. And then they go to the back of the house and they start counting. Outside, outside the house. Okay, all right, we're going to have to go about a third of the way in. About 12 paces this way, and they got right above where they thought Jesus was. Can you imagine Jesus sitting up there preaching and teaching, talking to the people, sharing the words of God, and all of a sudden he begins to hear the roof cracking up and breaking apart, and dust particles begin to fall, and some of the people grab whatever they were sitting on, pews, chairs, floor, I don't know. And all of a sudden I hear a little boy say, "Mom, is it an earthquake?" And Jesus is looking up, and everyone else looks up frightful, but there's a smile on the lips of the Savior. He knows what's going on. And all of a sudden, the roof is uncovered, the Bible says, broken apart, torn apart, until there's a hole big enough to let down their friend. And here this man comes down, and literally as if he's floating from the sky, he's let down right in front of Jesus. "Hey, they said out front that there wasn't room, but we figured maybe you had time, Lord." You know what? The Lord has time for you today too. The Lord wants to save you. Listen, you may be here and you may not realize it, but there's been a lot of people, more than four, praying that you'd get here to hear this message this morning. There may be some folks that have gone to extremes to get you here. Thank God for that. And folks, let me just say this. We need to work harder at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to go to extremes to get lost people in under the preaching of God's Word. I mean, honestly, how much effort did we make this week to try to walk in here with somebody that was lost? We've got to get back that Christian tenacity. We've got to start going out and saying, "You know what? Lost people need to be sitting in the pews on Sunday morning at Blessed Hope and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ." And so they broke open the roof and they dropped it down. And you know what? They heard Jesus say, when that man was suspended from the roof down in front of Jesus, they heard what they wanted to hear, "Tharseo, Tharseo." I like that. When I was a little boy, hadn't gone to church much in my life. You all know the story. Next door neighbors started inviting my mom and dad to come to church. I began to attend church and I began to listen, and thank God. I always say this, thank God for children's workers. Thank God for right now. You know what? There's a primary church being taught right now, the Word of God, to little 2 and 3 year old children. There's a children's church. There's a junior church. There's 3 services going on outside of this one besides the babies that are meeting in the nursery having a revival in there. Thank God that there are people that are trained and willing. Folks, listen to me. Come on. It's a lot easier Sunday morning to come in here and sit than it is to go down and wrestle with 25, 35, 40 kids on a Sunday morning. Vie for their attention. Work hard all during the week. Prepare a Bible message and then try to take that message and get it down in such a way where those children can understand it. That takes work. Let me say this. Thank God for it. You're seeing a result of somebody that took the time for children. Thank God when I was 5 and 6 years old, there were some people, especially the pastor's wife there at Rock Run Baptist Church, that would take us in the back and teach the Bible to us and got me to the point where I could understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a day that I went up and talked to the preacher. My dad took me up. I was glad you told me that story. That was sweet. My dad took me up there and the preacher knelt down with me. And you know what my problem was? I was a sinner. You know why I was discouraged? I was a sinner. You know why I didn't have any boldness, any assurance in my life? Because I was lost. And Jesus said the words, "Tharseo, be of good cheer. I died on the cross for you. I was buried. I rose again. Thy sins be forgiven." Greatest day of my life is the day I got saved. Amen. Greatest day of my life is the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Tharseo, thy sins be forgiven. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 15. Let me show you another place where Jesus used this interesting word, this phrase, tharseo, tharseo. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 22. I think I'm at the wrong scripture here. Let me look here. Well, I apologize. Let's go to the next point. Amen. John chapter number 16. Let's go there. John chapter number 16. While I'm preaching this, a couple of you guys look up and find where Jesus was walking on the water and Peter tried to walk, and you get me to that in just a second, okay? John chapter number 16, and let's read verse number 28. John chapter number 16 and verse number 28. Tharseo, tharseo. I think I need to hear Jesus say that right now, amen? Tharseo. John 16, verse 28. Let's read these scriptures. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Say, Brother Jerry, why can you get up today in the midst of all of the problems in this world and in my personal life and say, "Be of good cheer"? I don't even know if I want to hear that phrase today. You don't understand my circumstance. Listen, the Bible says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." You say, was that a promise? No, it was just a statement of fact. Say, prove it. Is that true? Well, I'll show you that it's true. All right, whoever in here doesn't have one problem in the world, just go ahead and stand. Jesus said, listen, I'm not saying I'm going to send it. I'm just telling you, as long as you're living in this old sinful world, it's just part of living here. You know what? There's going to be tribulation. But as soon as he said that, in this world you shall have tribulation, the next thing he said was this, "Tharseo, I have overcome the world." See, you know what he was saying? He was saying, listen, I've already won the victory. When you feel like you're losing, remember, through me, you've already won. Boy, that's great news. Can I bring that to you today? You shall have tribulation. There's days you're going to feel like you're losing. There's days you're going to feel like you're not doing well. There's days you're going to start losing faith and losing confidence and losing boldness and losing courage. But remember, Jesus has already won the victory. He's already won the victory. Brother Jerry, when you go to the hospitals, what do you tell the people that's in the hospital? I say, "Tharseo." No, that's the ministry, folks. I pray that you'd listen to. Young men, young ladies, listen to me up here. I could help you if you'd let me. You say, Brother Jerry, what do we say when we go see a shut-in? I'll tell you what you say. You say, Tharseo. Be of good cheer. Well, why? They're having a hard time. They're in the midst of tribulation. How can I say that? Because Jesus has already won. He's already won the victory. You say, Brother Jerry, what do you say when you go to the nursing homes? When you go see Brother Kestner? When you go see others that are in the nursing home? What do you say to them? Yeah, I say, Tharseo. I say, Tharseo. Brother Jerry, when you get that call and somebody's weeping on the other end of the phone and you can't even understand what they're saying and it takes a while to discern what's happening, but you know in the pit of your stomach it's not good, and finally it comes out that a lost one, a loved one has been lost, what in the world? I don't know what to say. You say, Tharseo. Say, be of good courage. Be of good comfort. You know why? Jesus has already overcome. He's already won it. Say, Brother Jerry, do you counsel? I counsel. I sure do. I counsel on the phone. I counsel in person quite a bit. Can I say this, folks? There's a lot of things you can tell people that are going through difficulties, but let me tell you the best thing you can say to them, Tharseo. Tharseo. Amen. Tharseo. Get a call like I got this week, and emergency type call, and they're rushing Laura Bell to the hospital. What do you say when you talk to the family? What do you say when you talk to her? You say, Tharseo. Brother Jerry, when we had this accident out here, what do you say to a little boy that's hurt and doesn't know what's going on? I don't know. Ask the men around. What was I saying to him? I was saying, Tharseo. Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Say, how can you say that? Because, listen, folks, God's already won the victory. God's already won the victory. You see, I wish we could see things from God's perspective. I wish we could get to the point where we could start understanding that, listen, folks, we have to live this light out, and Brother Lim is right. We've got to fight the good fight, and there is a war going on, but this isn't a battle to determine the winner. Do you get this? It's not a battle to determine the winner. That was determined on Calvary. Amen. Say, Brother Jerry, you have setbacks, yes, but you don't get discouraged much. No. You know why? I've read the end of the book. Amen. I know how this thing's going to come out. Why should I get discouraged at a temporary setback? Why should I get discouraged at one skirmish that was lost? The battle's been won. Jesus said, it is finished on Calvary. He burst out of that tomb 3 days later. He sits on the right hand of the Father. Folks, listen, he's not up there looking down and rooting us on, wondering whether or not the battle's going to be won or lost. It's already been won. Amen. Jesus said this. He said as he was getting ready to leave this earth, Tharseo. You know what he was saying? He was saying, be of good courage. Be of good comfort. I've already won. Somebody tell me what I was looking for. Amen. Thank you very much. Bless your hearts. Amen. Matthew 14. You know what? I'm not even going to study from now on. I'm not going to write anything down. I'm just going to say, I want to preach on this story. I don't know where it is. Could someone find it for me? And then we'll just take off on it. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 22. I guess I was off the chapter. Matthew 14, verse 22. Let's read this story. I love this. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And when he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Tharseo, it is I. Be not afraid. You been in that boat? No, I have. I'm sorry. I pastored this group long enough to know everybody in here has been in that boat. Come on, you been in that boat? Are you in that boat? Brother Jerry, I think I'm in the will of God. So were these folks. He's the one that walked down and made them get in the ship, pushed them off from shore. You think Jesus knew a storm was coming? They're out there rowing, and he's up in the mountain praying. The Bible says he was even watching them from the mountain while he was praying. You know what? It may seem like, you know, just because you can't see God don't mean he can't see you. I don't see God in this. That don't mean he doesn't see you. He knows right where you're at. So he watches us for a while. You know what? You say, Brother Jay, that's mean. No, it's not mean. Folks, out there on the waves is where your faith is built. Faith isn't built on easy street. Christian faith is not built in the good times. It's not built on the mountaintops. It's not built during the celebration times. Faith is built out on the roaring and rolling seas. That's where it's built. So Jesus watches them, lets them toil for a while, goes out there and takes a walk. Man, I wish I could do that. I mean, I'm sorry, but I wish. Think how much easier fishing would be. I could just go out there and walk on top of the water. Wouldn't that be neat? Jesus just says, I'm going to go see him now. He didn't look around for another boat. Can you imagine this? He walks down to the edge of the sea, and where most any of us would be saying, I need to go help them. We're looking for a boat to commandeer. Jesus doesn't even break stride. He just walks right out there on the water. Now, I'm telling you that on purpose because that's the kind of Savior you have. He walks out there on the water, and he gets near them, and man, they're scared because they think they're going to drown. They're scared because the water's filling the boat. They're scared because they're trying to row one way and the wind's pushing them the other way. The Bible says the wind was contrary to them. They're scared then even more because now they see what must be a ghost because no human being can walk on water. And Jesus, across the waves and over the sound of the wind, hollers out. He says, Tharseo! Tharseo! You know what he said? He said, you're losing courage. Don't lose courage. You're losing your boldness. Don't lose your boldness. He says, you're losing your confidence. Don't lose your confidence. He said, you're losing your daring. You're close to quitting. You're scared. You need to hear this from me. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Isn't this tremendous? The first time Jesus said, Tharseo, he said, I can say, be of good comfort because your sins are forgiven. The second time he said, Tharseo, he said it here on the waves, and he was able to say it because he said, I'm here. The third time he says, be of good comfort, he said it because he could tell us, I've already won the victory. Isn't that great? So listen, folks, can I tell you, is any of these things not true today? Have your sins be forgiven? Are you saved? Then Tharseo, be of good comfort. Why are you cowering in a corner? Your sins are forgiven. You've got a reservation in heaven. There's a mansion being constructed for you. There's an opportunity to live out the Christian life serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If your sins have been forgiven, good night. Don't be timid. Don't be heartless. Don't lose faith. Don't be afraid. Have confidence. Go out and do something daring for the Lord. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus still here? Amen. Amen. I'm in this boat all by myself. No, you're not. I pray and it just seems like the ceilings are brass. Well, they don't have to go past the ceilings. Jesus is right beside you. We don't serve a faraway God. It's a gazillion miles away on the outside rim of the universe somewhere that has to strain down to hear our little prayers. You know what? I serve a Jesus that walks with me and talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And he's always there. We had special prayer. And Sister Mary, I'm not going to upset you, even though I might, but we had a special prayer for Vernon today. I asked her, have you heard from him? She said no the other day, and then she caught me the next day and said, I got an email. And I said, do you know where he's at? And of course, I don't think they can give that information. Right, Brother Tim? They probably can't give that information. I don't know where he's at. His mama don't know where he's at. God knows where he's at. Not only does God know where he's at, God's with him right now. Right now, Jesus Christ is walking beside your son, Vernon. Woo! That's good stuff. That's why he says, be a good comfort. He says to mama, be a good comfort. He said, I got this. I'm here. I'm here. I'm not trying to turn the whole sermon into what happened yesterday, but say, Brother Jerry, when something like this goes on, oh my goodness sakes, there's a heightened sense of emotion. There's an urgency to do something. There's all of the right calls that need to be made. And thank God for people that are trained to come in those type of situations. Folks, let me just say this. Jesus was right there in the building, and Jesus was right there as he was being taken out on a stretcher, and Jesus was in the ambulance. And Jesus rode all the way to Greene County, and Jesus was there in the emergency room. And Jesus was there in the ambulance as they headed up towards Riley. I got to tell you this. And Greg told me when they got partway to Indianapolis, the ambulance driver that they got looked over at him and said, "I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm substitute driving for my brother, and I don't usually do this, and I don't know where Riley is." Hey, Brother Jerry, that's not funny. Why are you laughing? I think it's hysterical. I'm sorry. Say, well, shouldn't you be worried? Well, you know, Jesus knows where Riley is. And Jesus got him to Riley, and Jesus was waiting there. And, you know, us human beings are running around like little ants trying to, I need to be here, I need to, and you know what we do. But folks, Jesus is there. And Mrs. Fulkerson, all through your sickness, Jesus was there. And Pastor Jerry come in and out, other people came in and out. You got some cards, you got some calls. So we were on the fringes, but Christ never left your side. Are you getting this? You getting this, Sister Connie? Jesus has been with you all through your kidney problems, all through your dialysis. I appreciate her being here. I appreciate some folks in this room that we don't mention a whole lot. But even in under great tribulation, on a stormy sea, you know what? There's a quiet confidence about their Christian life because Jesus is there. And they know it. I shouldn't tell this story. But, you got to be careful telling me anything because I'm going to tell it from the pulpit. I went and visited her daughter and her husband. They told me that Sister Connie was going to go to church the other day. It's been several weeks ago. And as she was walking out the car, she fell. I mean, she took a hard fall. And she couldn't get up. And she didn't have her glasses, if I understand right. Did you lose your glasses? And then you got to the car and you drove to your daughter's without your glasses. I know that's not a good thing. She told her daughter she fell, and she said, "Oh, well, I'm already ready for church. Let's just go on to church." And she came to church, got to church, realized she didn't have her glasses. She still don't know who was preaching. She thinks it was me, but she don't know who was preaching. And I'm sitting there thinking, this lady's on dialysis. She walked out. She took a fall on the way to the car, had to crawl to the car to get in the car, goes, picks her daughter up, and comes to church. Now, excuse me, but why did you miss again? Because I'm discouraged. Well, Jesus is here. Now, folks, we all know that there's been plenty enough sickness going around that warranted people to miss church of late. But I'm sorry, folks. Thank God for the testimony of some of these that just shame us a little bit, Brother Abel. They just shame us a little bit. I told Sister Connie's daughter, I said, "Man, every time I get feeling a little bad and think, have half a thought that I need to stay home, I think of your mama, I think of Brother Bo, I think of Brother or Sister Ruthie. I remember the testimony of my dad when he had that stroke, and you know, a week later he's in church, and a few weeks later he's leaning against a chair up here behind the pulpit." Listen, let me just say this to a young generation. Stop being such wimps. "I got a problem. I'm just going to quit on God." Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. You have no excuse. Are your sins forgiven? Yes, sir. Then be of good comfort. Get your courage back. Go do something bold for God. Stop walking around showing everybody your spiritual owie. We all have owies. Get up and do something. Do something. Get your courage back. Get your courage back. Get your boldness back. I'm not telling you anything Jesus didn't tell his disciples. Get up. What's hard? Do something hard. You'll feel better. You will. You'll feel better. You say, "How can I do it?" You remember that your sins are forgiven. You remember that Jesus is here. You remember he's already won the victory. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter what happens, let's just serve the Lord. No matter what we're facing, let's just serve the Lord. Let's just do what we can for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thar sail, be of good courage. Thar sail, be of good courage. Be bold. Have confidence. Be daring. When should that phrase be used? When someone's losing their courage, when someone's losing their faith, when someone's fearful or afraid or have lost their confidence, lost their spiritual daring, it's to be used to challenge the discouraged to take heart. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, even now. God, that our hearts wouldn't be distracted by circumstances around us. We'd focus in on what the Holy Spirit's speaking to our heart about even now, Lord. Don't let Satan snatch away what's been sown. I pray, God, that you'd let it settle into our hearts. Lord, help us to hear the Holy Spirit that clearly. Help us every invitation to hear the Holy Spirit that clearly. To allow that kind of attention to be averted to him. Lord, there may be someone that's discouraged. There may be someone that's down. They've lost a little bit of faith. We've all been there. I pray that you'd minister to their heart today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.